Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. And if you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out past shows or to subscribe to our program on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. Today, we're going to talk about retirement planning, but through a very specific lens. This conversation is really for people who are nearing retirement age, still earning at a high level, and doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is maxing out workplace retirement plans and taking advantage of the catch-up option contributions. In other words, if you've ever thought about it, I'm saving, but I want to make sure I'm using every opportunity available to me, this episode is for you. So throughout the first part of today's show, we'll be referencing a Kiplinger article that headlines the 2026 retirement catch-up curveball, what high earners 50 and older need to know now. And helping me unpack all of that information today is my co-host, Jacqueline, who's here to represent the listener and to make sure I explain things in plain English instead of industry shorthand.
Well, I appreciate that assignment and happy to be here as always. I just want to say Miss Amanda Mangum is back. She is back and better than ever. So I am super excited to get into this episode with you and, you know, really just speaking to people who are already engaged in their planning. This isn't a start from zero conversation. It's about refining what you're already doing and understanding how some newer rules might come into play here. So let's get into what really changes here, because there's a pretty significant shift coming.
That's right. First, let me say I'm glad to be back. It is 2026. This is our first podcast of the year. It took us a little bit to get up and rolling, but I'm glad to be here. So, but today we're going to actually talk about those rules that change for everybody who earned more than, according to the article, $150,000 in 2025. So every dollar you allocate in catch-up contributions has to go into the Roth side, not pre-tax, of your 401k. And this is where a lot of high earners get caught off guard. So beginning in 2026, the rules change for everyone who earned more than $150,000 in 2025. So if this actually applies to you, every dollar you contribute as a catch-up has to go into the Roth side of your 401k, not pre-tax.
Well, and Amanda, here's where I come in. There's a curveball.
Exactly. So for years, those catch-up contributions have been a favorite strategy because they allowed you to save more pre-tax dollars. And for many people, that deduction made a noticeable difference on their tax return each and every year.
And now that upfront tax break is gone for those catch-ups, right?
That's right. So every single change can potentially add a few thousand dollars to your 2026 tax bill if you're not prepared for it. And there's an important clarification here. This rule is based on wages from the sponsoring employee plan only. So spousal income doesn't count here. Investment income doesn't count. And wages from a side hustle don't apply.
Well, that's a pretty key distinction because a lot of people hear an income threshold and assume it applies to everything coming into the household.
I agree. And this is very specific. But for those it does apply to, the impact can feel abrupt. Now, there is some good news here. Your regular contributions up to $24,500 in 2026 can still be made on a pre-tax base.
So it's not an all or nothing situation.
That's correct. So you're not losing everything here, but if you're counting on those catch-up contributions to help you keep your taxes in check, this is where that strategy needs to be revisited. The article notes that the IRS finalized this rule in September of 2025, and it's a tough adjustment for a lot of high earners in their early 50s or early 60s.
Well, especially for people who are used to seeing that deduction year after year.
That's right. So if you've built that deduction into your expectations, a jump for a few thousand dollars in your tax bill can come to a real surprise. And that's why understanding this change is important.
Yes, absolutely. So for someone listening who's been making catch-up contribution for years, Amanda, this is probably the moment where they're thinking, wait, why is this changing now? Because it's not just a, you know, technical update. It changes how people have truly been planning.
That's a good way to put it. So Securing 2.0 was broadly designed to encourage more people to save for retirement. But this particular rule has a very different effect for high earners because it quietly pushes all catch-up contributions into Roth accounts instead.
And Roth contributions come with a very different trade-off.
They do. With Roth contributions, you're paying taxes now, but qualified withdrawals later on are tax-free. This can be especially appealing if you're planning on or believe that your tax rate will be higher in retirement. Historically, the key word there has been choice.
Well, wait, there's another plot twist.
Bingo. So under these new rules, higher earners have reduced flexibility. So if you meet the income threshold, the IRS requires that all catch-up dollars go into your Roth accounts, even if you're currently in a high tax bracket and would prefer the deduction today.
Which makes it feel less like a planning decision and more like a mandate.
Precisely. And there's another layer that's easily overlooked here. So if your employee's plan doesn't already offer a Roth option, you could be locked out of making catch-up contributions entirely until the plan is updated.
That's a big deal, Amanda, especially for people who are counting on those catch-ups during their peak earning years.
It is. But there is some good news here. So there is a grace period through 2026 with full enforcement beginning in 2027, according to this particular article, that gives plans some flexibility to adapt to have their employees have some good faith contributions.
But for the individual saver, the timeline probably feels much tighter.
You got it. So from the saver's perspective, the clock is ticking now. So according to the IRS and the article, 2025 was the last year for unrestricted pre-tax catch-up contributions.
So at this point, it's probably helpful to slow things down and clarify what isn't changing. Because the rule updates like this, it's easy to assume limits are being reduced or opportunities are going away entirely.
That's an important clarification here. So the base contribution limits themselves are actually increasing. So for 401ks, 403bs, and 457 plans, the base contribution limit rises to $24,500, up from $23,500 in 2025.
And the catch-up amounts are still there as well.
They are. So the article highlights that if you're age 50 or older, you can still make catch-up contributions of $8,000. And if you're between the ages of 60 and 63, the super catch-up limit is $11,250,000, which still applies here.
So from a savings standpoint, the opportunity is still intact.
Yes, you're still eligible to contribute the full amount allowed here. What's changed is the tax treatment of those catch-up dollars for higher earners. Here's the bottom line. The upfront tax treatment just got pricier.
It also notes that simple IRAs see similar limit increases, but the Roth requirement isn't as broadly applied here.
That's right. The Roth rule we've been talking about mainly applies to employee-sponsored plans like 401ks. That distinctly matters here, especially when people have multiple retirement vehicles in play.
One of the takeaways here isn't that saving more is off the table. It's that how those contributions are taxed has shifted.
That is actually a great point, Jacqueline. And understanding what differences is key to making informed decisions going forward.
Well, before we keep going with today's conversation, Amanda, please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation to ask questions or to get more information on this.
Just give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. Scheduling consultation only takes a few minutes, and we're always happy to work around your schedule.
Well, perfect. Thank you, Amanda. And this really brings us to the trade-off people are feeling most directly, which is the difference between getting a tax break now versus the benefits later.
Nicely put. So traditionally, catch-up contributions have come with an immediate benefit. You reduce your taxable income today. That upfront tax savings has been a big reason people lean on to catch-up contributions, especially in their higher earning years.
And that's what changes in 2026 for higher earners.
Jacqueline, you're on your A game today. So under this new rule, those individuals will have to pay taxes up front on the full amount of their income instead of getting that immediate tax break or catch-up contribution. That's the part that tends to hit home when people start running the numbers.
But there is a possible long-term upside.
That's right. So the Roth catch-up contributions can be very effective if you expect your tax rate to be higher in retirement, or if you're leaving a tax-free inheritance to your children is a priority. And Roth 401ks don't have required minimum distribution or RMDs, while the money remains in the plan up until it's rolled over.
Well, that flexibility can matter quite a bit in long-term planning.
It can. Now, there's also a practical consideration here, and that's plan availability. The article highlights a survey from the Plan Sponsor Council of America that found that 96% of 401k plans now include Roth provisions.
Which means that while most people are covered, not everyone is.
You're right on it, Jacqueline. So about 4% of plans still don't offer a Roth option. And if you're in that group, and it's important to talk with your HR department. Otherwise, you could find yourself unable to make up those catch-up contributions.
So once again, Amanda, it comes back to knowing how your specific plan is set up.
That is an essential point here. These rules don't exist in a vacuum, and how they affect you depends on the details of your employee's plan and your overall situation.
Yes. Well, Amanda, what's next?
So let's keep our focus on the new year by discussing a second Kiplinger article. This one is going to be called 2026, Your Year to Retire. So after walking through contribution limits, tax treatment, and plan mechanisms, it may be important to take a step back and ask bigger questions here, especially for those people who are getting closer to pulling the trigger. So before you join roughly the 4 million Americans expected to retire in the new year, you must be sure retirement isn't something you want to rush into without confidence, because re-entering the workforce later on is often much harder than people expect.
Yes, and that's where the idea of stop and go really comes into play.
Yep, and it's important to pay attention to the red flags and green flags, which are those signals that tell you whether you're truly ready to move forward or whether it might make sense to pause and reassess.
Yes, and a big part of that is to stress test the plan itself.
Very true here. It's not enough to have a strategy that works on paper in a perfect scenario. You need to know whether that plan can actually hold up during a bad market year or if inflation turns out to be higher in the future than expected.
Which is a good reminder, Amanda, that readiness isn't just about hitting a number.
That's also an important point here. And here's something else to remember. It doesn't get enough attention, but retirement readiness isn't purely financial. There's actually an emotional component to this decision as well.
And the transition from working life into retirement can be bigger than people even anticipate.
It can be. And that's why before deciding to retire in 2026, you should see whether you can honestly say yes to a retirement readiness checklist. It's a way to step back and evaluate both the financial and non-financial sides of the decision.
And one of the first things people tend to focus on when they think about retirement readiness is the number, you know, which is that dollar amount that they believe that they need to live comfortably.
That's right. So almost everyone has a number in mind. And the article references a closely watched survey from Northwestern Mutual, which puts that so-called magic number at 1.226 million as of 2026.
But that number isn't universal.
That's another excellent point, Jacqueline. But for some people, that amount may be higher. For others, it could be less. But really matters is whether you've reached that target, which is the number you believe supports the lifestyle you want in retirement. And reaching that target can be a meaningful green flag here.
And if you haven't reached it yet, you don't have to frame it as a failure. You can consider it more like a decision point.
I agree with you there. So if you're not there yet, there are options like working a little longer, transitioning into phased retirement by reducing your hours, or doing part-time or consulting work. Those approaches can actually help you close that gap without focusing on all or nothing decision here.
Absolutely. But hitting that number, Amanda, doesn't automatically mean that you're in the clear either.
That's also correct. So reaching your savings target is important, but here's the next question. Can your portfolio withstand a market correction?
Which is a tough question to answer because no one knows what the markets will do next.
I think so too. And while the article doesn't predict a downturn in 2026, it does note that the markets have been on a bull run for the last several years. And historically, periods of growth don't last forever.
It actually suggests readers run a scenario.
Yes, it proposes a simple but powerful question. So if your portfolio dropped by 20%, what would that mean for your retirement? Would you still feel comfortable? Would you still plan to work? Or would you decide to retire?
Because the consequences can be significant if the answer to those is no.
They can be. The last thing you want is to retire with confidence. Only having to look at market correction, throwing everything off course. At best, this could mean scaling back your lifestyle, but at worst, it could actually mean having to return to work.
Oof, that would be huge. And since no one knows what 2026 will bring, preparation matters.
Boy, you actually said it. So here's a summary. If your portfolio can't withstand a hit, it might make sense to keep grinding a little bit longer, not out of fear, but to give your plan a little bit more resilience.
Absolutely. So once the financial side starts to come into focus, it may be time to shift to a question that's a lot harder to quantify, which is whether you're actually ready to leave your job or not.
That's such an important question. So even when the numbers actually line up here, retirement is still a major emotional transition. And for a lot of people, work has been there. They've invested time, energy, and identity over many, many years. So letting go of it isn't just as easy as it seems.
And people fall all over the spectrum there.
They do. For some, their profession is closely tied to their sense of purpose and self-worth. For others, it's more of a see you later, I'm ready for the next chapter. And if you're truly done with your job, not done with life, just done with this job, that can be a meaningful insight.
But that still leaves the question of what comes next.
Yes, and there's simple but critical follow-up to this. So do you know how you're going to spend your spare time? So retiring without a clear plan for your days can actually lead to boredom or dissatisfaction. If you don't have an answer there yet, it may be worth hitting pause until you do.
And the same idea applies to spending money, not just having it.
You nailed it. So knowing that you have enough money is one thing. Knowing how you'll spend it is another. So without a real income plan, you're not ready. But that plan can't just be on a spreadsheet fantasy.
Absolutely. Especially early on, Amanda.
Yes, the first 5 years of retirement are particularly valuable. Before you retire, you need clarity around which accounts you'll tap first and why, when the plan is to claim your Social Security, how withdrawals are handled from a tax perspective, and how your portfolio is positioned to actually deal with inflation in a down market.
And that early window can really set the tone.
It certainly does. Another critical checkpoint here is whether your investments are generating more income than you need. So if the interest and dividends from your portfolio can cover your expenses, that's a strong sign for readiness.
Because then you won't necessarily be forced to sell in a bad market.
Correct. So spending principal in a down market can introduce real risk. But if your income needs are met by what your investments generate, the principal can remain intact. So fluctuation year to year, but typically doesn't rise your long-term growth.
I love that. I mean, healthcare is another major box people can't ignore either, Amanda.
That's for sure. So a 65-year-old who plans to retire sooner than expected is to spend approximately $172,500 on healthcare costs. Now that includes Medicare, which generally covers over 80%, but it doesn't account for emergencies or long-term care, which can add tens of thousands of dollars or more.
Not just for budgeting, it's scenario testing.
You're right. Planning on how you'll cover that out-of-pocket cost for healthcare and testing different scenarios to understand what you can afford in a critical step-by-step before leaving that workforce.
And let's just say if someone is still unsure after all of that, Amanda?
So talking through this plan with your financial professionals is often really helpful here. So getting another set of eyes on your strategy can help confirm whether it's designed to last 20 years or more, and whether it's resilient against inflation, market decline, and unexpected medical expenses.
Well, those are pretty important questions, and this really brings the whole checklist full circle.
It does. So retirement readiness isn't one decision. It's a scenario of confirmations that your strategy, your finances, and your expectations are all aligned.
Well, this has been an excellent show. Anything else before we conclude?
If you have any questions about retirement and your financial strategy, visit my website at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net or call my office at 919-342-7715. We'd love to help you protect your savings and feel confident about the road ahead.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us on another episode of Money Mastery with our host, Amanda Mangum. And I just want to point out before we leave today, I wish you the best in this snowy, cold weather that you guys are having.
Thanks. I know my kids love to be out of school, so they just pray that we continue to get more snow.
Well, I think, you know, I'll give you props for being the mom in this situation and also praying for you to be okay while they are off school.
Yes, I appreciate that. I need it.
All right. Well, thank you, listeners. Thank you, Amanda. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.